Hello, welcome to the world of Pokemon. My name is Nick, but these guys call me their Game Master, and you're listening to Pokemon Rollout, a real play Pokemon Tabletop United RPG podcast. What's your name?
I'm Paul, and I played Charlie Euripides Pine.
Yes.
I'm Michael, and I play Professor Rudimentus. Oh, the Romans sneeze.
I feel like I have to do something along those lines now, but I still like the one that I have. Hi, I'm Lydia, and I play Liliana Anonymous Kangaroo Shadow Garden.
Very nice, very nice. We can go back to you guys chasing down a sick teenager, okay?
We're gonna take her down!
I don't know. I feel like we can do whatever side quests we want, and whatever the main objective is, it'll still be there when we want to get to it.
Time is relative.
So we leave the concert hall with the Whismur and the Exploud and the Loudred, and Charlie goes, "That was fun."
Wait. Backtracking a little bit here. Are we allowed to take any of the crystals, or would that be frowned upon? Or wait, no, there's crystals along the...
If you want to, you would be explicitly stealing them. So it would be a guile check to hide it. Or a stealth check to hide it, actually.
Okay. I'll do that.
Can I roll perception against her,
Sure, if you wish to.
Stealth?
Why, do you think I'm suspicious or something? Please.
I just want to know if I see anything, like... All right, you do your... Tell me your stealth check first.
I've got to do a lot of math first.
Should be super fast, super easy to do. Everyone's the best at doing math at 10 o'clock at night.
34.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie, really a 34?
I'm virtuoso.
She has +4 on stealth checks. She rolls 66 and then has a +4 on her stealth check because of her stealth suit that she has.
All right, Charlie only had a 22.
Yep. So, no, you did not notice. In fact,
nope.
Reality may not have noticed quite that crystal was taken for a few seconds.
Thanks.
In terms of using moves outside of combat, can Melody use Wish to heal herself?
It will still take up the daily, so yes.
Right. I'll accept that.
Okay.
But she's at 25 HP, and so I'm going to... Maybe I'll use a bandage on myself.
Okay.
Every half hour I get an eighth of my hit points, and then after 6 hours I'll heal my injury.
Should I do any healing?
I'm going to drink, and yes, I said drink, a couple of potions for myself.
Okay.
And then I did want to give Grunge... some potions here as well. I think I'll just give him one, though.
Charlie is going to administer some super potions, actually. He's got 9 of them. So he's going to give 1 to Floppy Copy, 1 to Bernie, and he also drinks one as well. But as he drinks, he gives a disgusted face.
Liliana just gives him a hard pat on the back. Puts a fire in your stomach, doesn't it, Charlie? Feels good.
Just have the feeling this is cough medicine without the flavoring.
Yeah, okay. I guess if this is how you do it.
I don't think that it's fine.
You are walking down the other pathway on the tunnel while healing yourselves up and go through. I will say you walk down this tunnel. It's twisting back and forth. There isn't much branch off for it. There are still clumps of crystal. They're getting a little more common as you go down this path, it seems. But they're giving you enough illumination to see by, and you walk long enough for Professor Sneeze to get an eighth of his HP back from his bandage. So you're walking for about half an hour or so before the tunnel starts to widen open again, and now it's widening into a somewhat irregular space, mostly circular. It feels like, as you walk in, as though this was a place that was either half-carved and then given up on, or it was fully carved and time has worn it away to the point that it looks more ragged and jagged. Like, as though it was a room of some sort of importance. The walls show tool work, but it's been faded by time, so you can't really see what it is. And the biggest thing is that the center there is what looks like it was a stalagmite, but they chopped off the top of it. The figure on the pedestal looks like a large black figure, somewhat like a humanoid shape made out of black mud.
Ooh.
A larger head. The head is actually larger than the body, and then the legs are just two stubby legs. The head is larger than the body, and it kind of rises to a little like peg-like point on the top. Rounding around the head are circles evocative of eyes that are a pinkish color. Half of them have dots in the middle, and half of them have lines through them in an alternating order. And then above those dots, there is a curved white line that traces those circles around in an unbroken line on the top. In between each eye, each circle, is a little protrusion that seems to be painted yellow, almost like a beak, but almost like an impression of a beak. But there are also on the chest or the center of the body shape, there are two circles with little pegs coming out, so it looks like a Q and a backwards Q almost. One on either side of the chest, and then there's a yellow filled in circle in the center of those white shapes. So in the center of like the circle of the Q, there's a yellow dot. The arms are also stylized. They look like they are basically like little, again, they almost look like smaller versions of the head, like orb shapes with protrusions coming out. And as you look, you realize that those arms aren't actually attached to the rest of the statue at all, but are floating next to it in just kind of a still form. Also in this room, as you see, like everything's taken up, one side of the room has been fairly heavily cracked and broken apart, and there is a liquid pooling down from that area. At first you thought it might be water, but you're noticing like a rainbowy sheen to it. And there are also chunks. So it's mostly greenish, but there's some yellowish bits in it, and then there's a little bit of rainbowy color within it as well. And there's also chunks of what look like white solidified matter within this liquid form. Two things kind of hit you as you get those two. First is the smell. The liquid is exuding a fairly unpleasant chemical stench. And second is the fact that the liquid is kind of separating from itself and moving towards the clay figure in the center. So that is what you see at the moment.
I think I need to roll a Pokemon Ed.
Not a bad idea.
On these things. 19.
19, okay.
8.
And I got a 12.
Charlie, you don't recognize either of these. The liquid seems more like something, like you've run into Grimer before, so this seems similar, but none of them were this color, and none of them had chunks of stuff in them. Like, that's the closest analog you have, and you're not sure of the others. Liliana, you know from living in Ratu and in that area that if Grimer run into certain amounts of, especially solid garbage, if they start absorbing and taking in solid garbage instead of pure sludge and waste, they morph into what you're seeing there. So this is a different form of Grimer. You'd know that this is poison and dark type, not pure poison. Professor Sneeze, you would know all of this, and as well, you would recognize the statuette as being a clay doll, evolved form of Baltoy. Its body is sometimes prone to melting if it uses its psychic, or when wet, so it uses its psychic powers to protect it from the rain. Apparently, there is a belief that people modeled it from a clay figure that descended from the sky, and that's what it's made to be shaped out of. But this thing is an ancient, ancient Pokemon that is supposedly made by an ancient civilization and has been there. So it may be guarding something, may be protecting something. In fact, as you are looking at all of this and kind of getting all of this together and figuring out what to do, the clay doll spins and points both of its arms towards the sludge, and a familiar looking brilliant white light gathers at its arms and fires out. It uses Hyper Beam at one of the Grimer at the opposite end of the room. It does hit, so it doesn't do the smite for it. It hits and it does 72 normal special damage to this unlucky Grimer. 72 normal special, which is enough to give that Grimer 2 injuries. So you see this Grimer just, like, bits of hardened silica or whatever it is start forming, like, teeth around a gloopy mouth for it, and it's getting back together, and it just gets slammed in the face by this hyper beam that just shoots straight through, and it's kind of splats apart, but then slowly starts building itself back up again. So that's what's happening with those. Meanwhile, the Grimer all start shifting towards the thing. It takes them a move to get to the clay doll. So they all start shifting around it, and there's three you see break apart and shift around it. But most of the slime on the wall is still there and all clumped together in one shape that's getting larger.
So really quick, how many Grimer are there?
Three Grimer and one thing that's bigger than Grimer.
I'm sure it's nothing.
Charlie, you are up.
So seeing the Grimer take the hit and think, oh, this is probably wild and this is something that I want to catch, Charlie, and like seeing how big of a damage it took, Charlie's going to try and catch that. He's just going to just outright throw a Pokeball and catch it. Let me see what kind of Pokeballs I have. So we're just going to go ahead and use just a regular Great Ball, lock case thrown onto it. We're going to throw to deal damage. Nick, help remind me if I use my Yo-Yoka Ball, whether it's close or it's far, it's still the same damage, right?
Yes, it is the same damage.
We're looking at a 6 for accuracy on this thing.
6 for accuracy. Okay, what is the AC on that?
AC is 5.
Your throw goes a little wide. You're probably blinking off the after effects from the hyper beam in this small space when you've only had crystal light everywhere, and so it goes a little wide. It smacks off the wall. Doesn't go so wide that it breaks, but it bounces off the wall, and now it's covered in sludge.
Excellent. I'm going to have to go get that later.
Liliana, you're up.
I want to start off by doing perception to see if I can... Well, maybe that's not a...
What are you attempting to do?
Well, so what I'm trying to do is see if, like, the clay doll is trying to protect something. But then I was wondering, like, well, maybe I should do a Pokemon Ed instead, because, like, why are the Grimer going after the clay doll? I think I'm still going to do a perception instead, though.
I would ask for an intuition instead of a perception.
Oh, intuition. Okay.
Because you're trying to guess the intentions, not pick out things from the environment.
Okay. Then I will do an intuition then to see what's going on. So I got an 8, if that will even really get me anything.
So the clay doll is hard to read. In fact, it is hard to tell that this thing is alive. If you didn't see it just move and fire off a Pokemon move, you might have your doubts. The Grimer and the much larger creature, however, it's a muck. It's an all the muck, you know. The muck, it, you can pretty easily guess they are hungry. This clay doll is enough like food, and it's a psychic type, which is both a danger and their natural prey as a poison dark. So they found a new place to despoil through that crack in the wall and something to eat.
Which is closest to me? Which one's closest to me? That's the one I'll go after.
Closest one to you. So if they're arcing in, I would say, so go ahead after that one. It's one of the undamaged Grimer.
Okay, so this is going to be a silly question, but I'm going to ask it anyways because I'm always so confused by dual type Pokemon, just how certain attacks will affect it. So if I use a dark type attack on that Pokemon, it's not going to be, because like dark versus dark, that's not very effective at all. But then if it's a poison, then it's neutral. So it's like somewhere in between, right?
No, so if neutral gets knocked out, so it resists it by one step.
Yeah, so like it's think of neutral as time is one, and then the dark is time is is one half, and you multiply those together.
Yeah, so you end up with one half.
So you end up
okay,
with one half.
Okay, gotcha.
So, yeah, it would be not very effective, but it wouldn't be worse or better than that, yeah.
I will do Rock Smash instead.
Okay.
So, accuracy... Oh, okay. Nope, I'm not going to do it. I got a 2.
Man, do we need to retire some dice? We've been rolling really badly the last few episodes.
Right? I mean, at least it's not a 1, I guess, so...
You go to smash down on this Grimer, and all you get is that unpleasant feeling of sticking your hand into water that you know isn't clean.
Ew.
And all the way down through and out, and it moves out of the way just enough so that all you get is the feeling of it.
It's like wet socks all over my hands, and I hate it. It's so gross. Ew!
Wait, what is it?
It's like wet socks, but on your hands.
I will say, fortunately for all of you, none of these Pokemon actually have stench, so even though they do smell bad, they don't smell bad. They don't smell mechanically bad.
Mechanically bad.
So, okay, and Grunge is out, so I will put him on the docket. I forgot about that, because he's still out and about, so... Let me put him on the docket, but he's not next because Professor Sneeze is next.
Atlas, come on out. We've got somebody to protect. So I'm going to throw Atlas as close as I can to between the Grimer and Muk and the Clay Doll.
Directly between. So all three of the Grimer have gotten pretty close. So directly between where the main bulk would put him between the damaged one and the Clay Doll. So that would work. Yeah, that one took the most direct shot. So, okay, Atlas... Ah, Bastiodon. And he is... What size is he? Size medium. Wow, he's smaller than I thought. Okay, so that was your move action to release Atlas. So.
Now remind me, I can trade a standard action for another move action, correct?
Yes, if you so choose.
I want to try to go up to the opposite side of this stalagmite that has the Claydol on the top of it. So that I'm essentially behind the Clay Doll.
All right, that is fine.
But I'm coming with a non-hostile demeanor.
So you are there, you are behind the Clay Doll, you are, the Clay Doll is now between you and the, so Atlas is on the other side of the Clay Doll from you then, is what it would be there. Perfect. Okay, that is where everyone is. Next, so the Clay Doll is completely still, little wisps of smoke are still coming off of its cannon hands. As it's pointing them forward, because it just used Hyper Beam, so it has to use this turn to recover. Grunge is up next.
I am going to have Grunge use Helping Hand then. Grunge, help out. Oh, shoot, what is the Bastiodon's name again? I'm sorry.
Atlas.
Atlas, I'm forgetting everything today. Grunge, help out Atlas.
Grunge kind of like nods happily and yelps and then jumps over and jumps on top of Atlas. So you see like, you know, the Bastiodon there. And then there's just a little furry Growlithe face sticking out from the top. He's a spotter for the next thing. So Atlas has +2 to his next accuracy roll and +10 to his next damage roll this round. So yeah. Okay. So that'll work. Okay. Then that is Grunge's turn. So the fastest Grimer on the field is the Grimer Liliana tried to attack. So it will return the favor. As you're kind of snatching your hand back, all of those little bits of hardened whatever they are all warp around the space where your hand is, and it tries to bite your hand as you're reaching it back.
Ew, 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 don't touch me, ew.
It just hits with bite. It rolled a 5, so you're not flinched, but it definitely, it nips the end of your fingers as you were kind of pulling away.
You tickle.
It might be a slightly more than a tickle. It did 38 dark physical damage.
Ouch. Well, it's a good thing I got my tetanus shot.
Yes. So it chomps down and does that. All right. Next up are all the other Grimers. The Grimer, the weakened Grimer, kind of was getting ready to fight, and then it sees a completely different Pokemon appear in front of it. So it decides, it kind of looks at it. How smart are these things? They are balls of gross. They should not be that smart.
Balls of gross.
Balls of gross. They cannot be that smart. Maybe once they get bigger, they get smarter, but these ones aren't smart. It kind of unhinges itself. And so that other one bit at Liliana. This one unhinges bigger, even as it's kind of destabilizing, and goes for a crunch. on Atlas. That's a 10. So it didn't lower his defense by a combat stage, but it did hit.
So is it just hitting Atlas, or is it hitting Atlas and Crunch?
Just hitting Atlas. Even though they're in the same place, that Crunch can only hit one target. So, unless you want the rule to be that it hits both targets. Okay.
Nope, that is just fine.
No.
Thank you.
No.
Just checking. So that did 36 dark physical damage to Atlas. How does he have his defense up 2 combat stages already?
Wait a minute, that's a good question.
He fudged the numbers.
Oh, that's left over from earlier, as well as this damage.
Oh, that would have been so cool, but no, it does a little more than 1 damage.
It does 11.
So it
all numbers are made up anyway. We're just, it's all made up, guys.
The other, the third Grimer, has free access to go after the clay doll. So it goes for a crunch of its own on the clay doll. It hits with a 10.
Can I use bodyguard?
Yep, you're marking it as an ally, okay. And it will not resist it, so yes. Atlas swings his head around to catch the crunch as it comes down. It does. This crunch hit a little harder, though.
I'm going to use protect.
Well, let me tell you how much damage.
Okay.
It would have done, or it did, 44 dark physical damage. As bodyguard, you do resist it a step further. So yeah, 44 minus 25 is 17, and then half of that is 9. Wait, 44 minus 25 is not 17, it's 19. Half of that is 10.
You lied to me!
Okay.
I know. Okay. finally, the muck kind of forms together, and it gets up and fully forms together. You can see bits of that hardened surface going all around it. This thing's enormous. It kind of scoops forward a bit, and it is like kind of surveying over everything, and it rears back. It comes up, and you see it form a pseudopod fist, and it uses power-up punch on Atlas.
Uh-oh. Woo! Well, now I'll use protect.
It does hit. Okay. It did successfully hit a target, so its attack still goes up because of power-up punch. But okay. Yeah, it goes and it smacks into Atlas with power-up. So what it would have done before you use protect, just for fun for it.
You might have wanted to eat this one, actually.
It would have done 35 fighting physical damage.
We won't last that long.
It's going to do more next time.
I'll be all right. No, it won't.
If it survives. That loops it to Atlas's turn, but Atlas used Protect. So Atlas is shaking it off, and we're back up to the top of the round. Charlie, you're up.
Would I be able to retrieve my Pokeball and throw? Is that possible?
Move action, standard action. And you have the highest movement of anything on the field, I'm fairly certain. Your overland is 8. Yes, you would be able to do that.
All right, let's try it again. I'm going to use a new D20 on this one because the other one has been disappointing for a while. Charlie.
Before you do that, just for my fun, roll a D20.
Okay, that one is a 10. The least funny number.
Okay, you picked it up and nothing happens. Keep going.
Okay, yeah, so Charlie runs over to go pick up his Pokeball, and there's still some slime dripping off. Let's try this again. So he takes it and he aims for the damaged Grimer, trying to inflict damage with it. How about a 19? Can we do a 19?
That'll hit.
All right. Let's roll. How do I roll for damage? It's been so long.
Look at your combat page. It is, for the yo-yo ball, it's, wow, 2d6 plus 20.
Well, the 2d6 was not great. That was a 3. We're still going to take the 23 damage and apply it.
23 typeless physical. That did 9 typeless physical damage. Is not enough to faint it, so it's still up.
Wonderful. Let's go ahead and see if we're going to catch it. Let's see here. So a 20 and a 0, that's just a 20, right? Yeah.
That's just a 20.
200.
200, yeah, exactly.
20 and 0 is 20.
Cool. And with the great ball and with the lock case, that should be a zero, right?
Zero. Okay. Your Pokeball goat flies out and hits this Grimer, and is captured into it. It shakes once, shakes twice. Ding! Congratulations, you captured a level 34 female Alolan Grimer.
Booyah!
It has two injuries and has taken 71 points of damage.
Okay, I will see if I can make that happen.
Yeah, that was the one that got, you know, smacked in the face by a hyper beam, so.
I love how Charlie just went for it. That's great. Not even once, twice.
Charlie's not good at a lot of things, but he is good at catching Pokemon.
No, yeah. I'm saying I appreciate it. I like that he still went for it.
It is Liliana's turn now.
I'm going to try to do Rock Smash again, and I don't really have... I guess I'll still just go after the one that has been icking on her. Hopefully this one will be better, and it is. I got a 16 for accuracy.
That will hit. Does that actually with Rock Smash? Oh, not quite. It almost lowered its defense, but not quite.
Yeah, I know. And then 36 fighting physical.
So, fun fact, poison resists fighting.
Sure does.
One step. So, it did 21 fighting physical damage.
What?
Yeah, poison resists fighting, but dark is weak to fighting, so it balances out to a neutral. It did 21 fighting physical damage, so it did hit it, not enough to give it an injury, so you go and smack down just as the chompers close again, and you feel like you broke one of the bits of hardened whatever it is, but you don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, because you're pretty sure whatever it is might be solidified sludge, and so breaking it might not be the best, but... It did do damage to that muck. Or Grimer. I'm sorry, Grimer. So that was good. Yeah, Dark Poison is a solid typing.
It's only weak to ground.
Yeah, if you can give one of them a balloon, then...
Almost, yeah, that combo... Like Poison is like a surprisingly good defensive type.
That was Liliana's turn. Professor Sneeze, you are up.
The status of the one who used Power-Up Punch. Can you tell me?
The one who used Power-Up Punch. That is a muck. It is completely untouched, and it has one combat stage and attack.
I am instead going to try to... Well, all right, I'll start with this. I'm going to talk to the clay doll. I see you're being targeted as prey for these rather unsavory types. We're here to help. Keep doing what you're doing. We're behind you and in front of you and next to you, helping you out. Here's how I'm going to help. Watch this. I'm going to use Swift on the muck. If I hit the muck, will I also blast into some of the Grimer?
You would have blasted into the Grimer that Charlie just caught.
Charlie says to the clay doll, here, hide in this Pokeball.
The clay doll coming out of a hyper beam has one of its arms just drift towards Charlie.
No, he's kidding. That's a 15 to hit, so not a crit. 28 normal special damage.
That did 12 normal special damage. Which is not enough to give this thing an injury, but you see stars kind of chunk through it, and you can tell that it's letting the stars chunk through it, like kind of moving out of the way, but it is also still tearing some of it out, and so it's definitely taking the hits. It is the Claydol's turn, and the Claydol is going to kind of drift through, see what's going on, turn towards Liliana, and it looks like it's deciding, okay, let's winnow the targets. You see its arms again light up with brilliant, brilliant light.
No.
Wait, can it use... Yep, Daily Time Zoo. It fires at the Grimer right in front of Liliana with Hyper Beam.
Whew, thank you.
It does hit, and it does 65 normal special damage to that Grimer. That did 56 normal special damage, which is enough to give this Grimer two injuries, but not quite enough to faint it either. So it just barely manages to keep itself together as it gets blasted down to paste by this clay doll. You get the feeling that it has a fairly simple operating system of eliminate weaker enemies, then focus on the larger one. But it's definitely blasting away. So, that was the clay doll's turn. It is now Grunge's turn.
I will have Grunge do flamethrower on the Grimer that's been attacking Atlas.
The Grimer that's been attacking Atlas is gone. You mean the Muck?
Sorry, yes, the Muck.
Mm-hmm. Yes, go ahead.
All right, and I got an 11 for that.
An 11 with flamethrower, that hits.
43 fire special.
Not bad. That did 26 fire special damage, which is not still not enough to give this thing an injury, but definitely enough to get its attention. So, still sitting on top of Atlas, Grunge kind of jumps up and lights up and just sends out a torrent of fire over this Muck that burns it. The fumes in the room are not the best at the moment, but hopefully that won't be a problem. But it definitely manages to blacken and deal some damage to this Muck. Next up is the Grimer in front of Liliana. First thing you see is it oddly reconstitute itself really quickly. It activates Defy Death, which means it's instantly healed up to 2 injuries.
Oh, man.
It doesn't gain any extra HP or anything, but it managed to kind of stabilize itself. It spins away from Liliana because something just, you know, lasered its head off and aims for a crunch at the clay doll instead. That is a hit on the clay doll. That's only 15 dark physical damage that the clay doll takes. It has high defense. But still, it's a solid crunch on it. And you see that's the first damage this thing's taken for a bit. So there's some cracks on the clay doll, but it's made of clay, so hopefully those aren't lasting.
Mm-hmm.
Liliana's turn. Next up is the Grimer on the other side of the clay doll. It's been having a decent day. It hasn't been attacked yet, so it will also go to crunch on the clay doll. That's what they're aiming for, after all. But it can't manage to quite get its teeth around the clay doll properly. It misses. But then the Muck goes, and the Muck has just been hit by some swift. It was kind of turning towards Professor Sneeze, and then a blowtorch opened up in its face. So it kind of, you see it kind of rear up a little bit and form a pseudo mouth of sorts as it's looking at Grunge, and then it spits. It uses acid spray on Grunge.
Hmm.
No.
And I need to look at the failure table, because it rolled a 1. Here's how I'm going to explain just having it miss and why this will work. Because if you don't know, Alolan Grimers and Alolan Muck have access to weird power, which means that their damage goes up exponentially on either their special attack or their attack, depending on which one's stronger. They usually have attack stronger, and acid spray is a special attack move. If it would have hit, it would have done 60 poison special damage to Grunge. So the Muck spits, and Grunge is able to dodge to one side. It flies across to the other side of the room, and you hear a crumbling noise as part of the wall on the opposite side of the cavern melts into slag. So that was the Muck's turn. It is now Atlas's turn. Helping Hand is no longer in effect because that was last turn.
Right, that's fine. Atlas is going to use Iron Defense.
Ah, now he's going to up his defense up to there. We are back to the top of the round with Charlie.
I suppose Charlie's very happy about catching the Alolan Muck. Alolan Grimer. He hasn't caught the Alolan Muck yet. So, but being very excited, like, yeah, all right. And then he snaps and like, oh, there's more battles and stuff going on. Okay, let's get somebody in this. So Charlie's going to send in. Who's he going to send in? We've already established how good the defenses are on these guys. Let's go ahead and send in. We're going to send in Katana to come in and kind of help out with this.
Solid choice.
Yes, although even though I saw her deliver a 4-time super effective fighting attack.
You and me both, brother.
Come on, Katana, let's see what you can do here. Let's go ahead and let's see if we can take down this Muck.
First, remove her speed combat stages because she doesn't have them. That was from before. Fair. But she does go right away because of the plus 10 for you putting her out this round. So
we're going to try and roll and do damage, though. So let's check and see if we hit first. It's an 18. All right. The blue die is doing its work. All right. So that's 4 plus 20. So it should be 24 typeless physical damage.
That did 9 damage.
If I do a slash as a melee pass move, am I able to hit one of the Grimer as well?
Yes, you can choose another one of the Grimer to hit. So either the one that's on its last legs or the one that's untouched.
And then what is... on Metal Claw, I see it's tagged with Spirit Surge. What is Spirit Surge?
Spirit Surge means that if you roll an 18 plus and somehow miss, you still raise your attack by one combat stage.
Okay. I think we're just going to do the normal slash and we'll go for the Grimer that's on its last legs. Roll once, I assume?
No, roll twice. Roll accuracy for each of them, damage once.
Okay, so we're going to go for the Muck first. That's a 7 on the Muck.
That hits.
And a 4 on the Grimer? That's going to miss.
So the Alolan Grimer is able to dodge the slash, but it does hit the Muck.
All right, so let's roll our 2d6 here. That is a 7 plus 29, so that should be, what, 36 normal physical damage?
21 normal physical damage, which is not quite enough to give this an injury still. Katana slashes through it, and it splatters a little bit more of the gunk everywhere, but it's still kind of gathering itself together and still getting ready to go. Meanwhile, that slash caught a little bit of the edge of something more solid within the Muck, and so it goes a little bit off kilter, and the Grimer is able to dodge underneath and around. Liliana, you're up. The Grimer in front of you is really not doing well.
I think I'm just gonna try and do another rock smash on it, and hopefully... Well, actually, no. I'm going to do this instead. I'm gonna take a look at my Pokeballs, and let's see...
Just look at it.
Just look at it.
Look at the description of Dive Ball and remember where you are.
I was just looking at that one. Yep. So, yeah, I think I will go ahead and use one of those. It's a D100 and then a D...
First, it's accuracy.
No. Oh, I got a 5.
I think it does hit, actually. Go ahead.
Yay!
So now it's a D100 and a D10.
Okay. Whee! I got a 92.
Okay, subtract 20.
Oh, okay, so then that'd be 72.
It lands on the Grimer, the Pokeball, the Dive Ball shakes once, shakes twice, and we're probably going to have to take a break for the moment.
Oh! Why me?
Thank you for joining us this week. You can find us online at tapstradio.org/Pokemon-rollout, on Twitter at PokeRollPodcast, and on Facebook at facebook.com/PokeRollout. Join our Facebook group, the Pokemon Rollout Tap Room. As long as you're not a robot, we'll approve your request to join. There you can join in the conversation with creators and fans and become a part of the Pokemon Rollout community. Especially on our Discord, we are talking now. But also, follow our network on Twitter at Tapestry Radio, or X, whatever it is, and check out some of our other great shows at tapestryradio.org, like Intermission, Michael and Ethan in a Room with Scotch, Freddy Goes to a Podcast, and Us Play Fiasco. A special thank you to Rocco W. for our theme music, Electric Donkey Muscles, and feel free to check the show notes for the other music and sound effects used in this episode. Once again, I'm Nick, and I think technically you can still follow me on Twitter at PokeRollNick.
I'm Paul, and I do have some sad news to share with you, friends. I did on my phone for a long time, as long as I could, I held out, and I did not update my phone to have it it still had Twitter, but I absentmindedly hit update all, and it is now X on my phone. So I guess you can find me at X,
womp,
at ProfSnag. I know, it was so sad. I held out for so long. Anyway. Find me on X at ProfSnag, but as Nick was saying, come say hi to us on our Discord.
I'm technically on X, I'm really not, though.
Yeah, me too, like, it's just, I'm there.
At MGLILIENTHAL. But mostly find me in the Discord, find me in some of the other Tapestry Radio shows. Also, Instagram at MGLILIENTHAL. I don't know if there's anything interesting that you'll see there, maybe I'll share some of the sketches that I like to do of some of the Pokemon that we see and stuff. In fact, you know what? I'm gonna share the sketch of the Bastiodon that I did this time around. I'm gonna put that up on Instagram. And so that's where I'll start, and we'll see what else I do. Yay. There.
And I am Lydia, and I don't use X, so you don't have to follow me. And yeah, find us on our Instagram too at Pokemon Rollout. And yeah, join us on our Discord, as the others have talked about as well.
You can find me at Behind Your Eyely, Behind Your EYELI. If you like what we do here on Pokemon Rollouts, tell a friend, retweet us, and especially please rate us on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you really like us, donate to us on Patreon, patreon.com/pokerollpodcast, and get some sweet rewards. Special thanks to our patrons, Dr. Audino, Kyle Albert, Peter Stadmuller, Andrew Case, Micah Greenspoon, David Harshman, Taylor Bonforte, Michael, Ask a Blood, Zach Parsons, Jeffrey Show, Casey DeFritas, Froxus, Andrew Weil, Spencer Toole, Arming Sword and Buckler, Legendary, Starlink, Scotty Newton, Ursa93, Terry Pfau, Julia Egan, Vincent Nazaretian, Lauren Polson, Nathan Hemmelgarn, Lance, Big Fat Nuke, Stephanie Reinauer, Wern the Patronizer, Autumn and April Art, Daniel Mabry, The Gaming Motion Artist, Magical Girl in Training, Justin Brennan, and Ricky Jenkins. You guys are awesome, and we can't say it enough. We really appreciate all that you, the gentle listeners, do for us. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you later.
You're an anonymous kangaroo. Everyone else is like logged into that thing.
Just me? So. What? How did that happen? Just Lydia. Even signed into the... Well, whatever.
Yeah.
You know what? If God wills me to be an anonymous kangaroo, then that is what I shall be.
What can we do to make Nick's life harder?
That sounds like an accurate sibling response.
And then they did that.
We could do this to make things easier, but get this, guys.
Get what?
There's this guy, Nick, and we can make his life so hard.
I feel like we do that every episode, regardless.
I just love how much our fans enjoy hearing Nick sigh.
Yes! Oh, that was so good.
I love how, how especially, like, people older than us, like, internet friends aren't real friends. Like, people you've never, like, met face-to-face aren't real friends. Uh-huh. And yet we've been doing this podcast for... Are we coming up on 9 years, or are we coming up on 8 years?
It's 8. I was just thinking
8 years.
This
coming up
day.
On 8, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, we've been doing this podcast for nearly 8 years, and, like, I love still doing this with you guys.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun.
So. Or, like, the other...
It's like a highlight.
Or, like, another buddy of mine, he's actually in the Discord, the British gent. He and I, of course, have never met because he is literally British. But we've also, like, we've been friends...
British people aren't real.
Yeah. Because he has to be in Britain, but just because he's not real.
They say things like, across the pond, what?
Grunge is up next.
Oh, and I was just looking at that sweet boy. Let's see. Not just, like, at his picture or anything, but at his stuff.
Just looking.
I just love that little dog.
Obscurantism and obfuscation.
Orally observed, gentle listener.
Gentle listener.
Gentle listener.
Gentle listener.
Obviated objects of oblivion.
Obambulating about.
Offered unto you.
Offered unto you.
Offered unto you.
In the Tapestry Radio Network.
Tapestryradio.org.
From our fancy to yours.